Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. Todd sent me an email, said, Steve, check out this story. And the story headline crossed in front of my eyes, and my brain actually freaked out trying to figure out which portion of the headline to focus on. Headline, he said an antipsychotic drug caused him to grow breasts. Now Johnson & Johnson owes him $8 billion, according to a jury. This is from the Washington Post. Todd passed me along the story. Thank you very much, sir. And Teo Armas wrote the story. But at age 9, Nicholas Murray was prescribed drugs for sleeping troubles associated with his autism. But once Murray realized his breasts were growing, after he started taking the antipsychotic drug, he sued its manufacturer, charging in 2013 that the healthcare giant did not sufficiently warn doctors of the drug's side effects. That is, that you might grow breasts, which for a man might be a problem in today's society, but it might not. I'm not passing judgment here. On Tuesday, a Philadelphia jury ruled that the company and its subsidiary owe $8 billion in punitive damages to Murray, who is now 26. That whopping sum of money, which at least one legal expert says is likely to be reduced, is among thousands of similar cases against the company regarding the drug. In 2015, a jury awarded Murray $1.75 million, which a judge later reduced to $680,000. So his attorneys say the company has lost its way. This jury, as have other juries and other litigations, once again imposed punitive damages on a corporation that valued profits over safety and profits over patients. In a statement to the New York Times, the company said it will move to set aside this excessive and unfounded verdict, and an $8 billion verdict will probably be set aside, or at least reduced. The jury did not hear evidence as to how the label clearly and appropriately outlined the risks associated with the medicine or the benefits provided to patients with serious mental illness, the company said. Further, the plaintiff's attorneys failed to present any evidence the plaintiff was actually harmed by the alleged conduct. I don't know. It seems to me if there was evidence that the man grew breasts, that would seem to be evidence. But then again, I don't know how much this got in front of the jury. Starting in 2003, Murray from Maryland was first administered the drug to treat schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and irritability associated with autism by two of his treating physicians, according to a prior legal opinion in the case. And this one's gone back and forth apparently through the court system. The Food and Drug Administration had not approved the drug for use in children until 2006. But his doctors, at the recommendation of a psychologist, had said it would address his sleeping difficulties. And, you know, this is one of those things where a drug says, you know, we can treat you for this, but, you know, it might cause this. And I've seen the ads on TV that say, you know, this drug will cure your restless elbow, but it might cause bladder cancer. And given the choice between the two, I think I'd live with my restless elbow. But I digress. While the drug can treat certain mental health disorders, Murray's lawyers charged that it also has a tendency to create a hormonal imbalance with elevated levels of a hormone called prolactin. In men, the presence of the hormone can lead to the development of female breast tissue, a condition known as gynecomastia, as it did in Murray, his attorneys argued. His mother took him off the drug in 2008. Now, lawyers for the company have disputed whether the makers of the drug knew about the relationship between the drug and the condition and whether they had appropriately conveyed that risk to doctors and clients if, in fact, they knew. That, of course, what we're all arguing about here. The plaintiff's attorneys pointed to a 2002 label for the drug in which somebody said that risks are rare, categorizing their link to gynecomastia at 1 in 1,000. Now, I don't know if I take a 1 in 1,000 chance on that, but, you know. But a different label in 2006 said the risk was higher, according to the attorneys. Now, the drug resulted in a prolactin level greater than other drugs in its class, according to the opinion, citing a study with a reported rate of gynecomastia in patients of about 2.3%, which would be, you know, more than 2 per 100, if I understand how percentages work. Carl Tobias, a law professor at the University of Richmond, had told Reuters that the unusually high amount of punitive damage was more about sending a message to the company and, of course, would likely be lowered on appeal. And I would agree with that opinion entirely. A jury, when there's outrageous enough conduct, will award a big number and let the lawyers and judges work it out. And that doesn't mean the jury's expected to be reduced, but that's a jury saying, hey, look, if it's up to us, this is what we would do. The ruling marks another costly setback for the parent company. In August, an Oklahoma judge found the healthcare giant responsible for fueling the state's opioid epidemic and ordered it to pay over $500 million in damages. Last year, a Missouri jury ordered the company to pay $4.69 billion to 22 women who say that their company's talcum powder gave them ovarian cancer. Companies appealing both decisions and denying those allegations. So this is the bizarre one, though, where the teenager, actually, I guess the age of 9, was prescribed a drug for an off-label treatment, as they call it. And the allegation is that that drug then caused him to grow breasts, which is, again, like I said, I would think generally not a good thing for a prepubescent or teenage boy to be growing. I mean, I know the troubles I had when I was that age trying to fit in at school, and I suspect that a pair of breasts would not have helped me. So that's the situation. And, of course, this will wind its way through the court systems in one of the most convoluted and Byzantine fashions, as you can imagine, because the amount of money involved and, of course, the fact that this is a case that draws a lot of attention just simply due to, like I said, the keywords in the headline that catch your attention. So, but again, his allegation is that the antipsychotic drug caused him to grow breasts and a jury has awarded him $8 billion. So, like I said, it'll get reduced most likely on appeal, or even possibly by the trial court. They can do that too. So, like I said, I will follow it as it progresses. Todd, thank you for the story. If you want to check the story out yourself, it's in the Washington Post. Questions or comments, as always, put them below. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.